comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to try to predict the winners of the 97th Annual Academy Awards. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and joining me on today's episode is Slash Film staff writer Nina Starner.
Oh, hi.
All right, Nina, before we get into it, how closely do you track Oscar buzz and precursor awards shows and all of that? How closely do you follow this whole Oscar thing?
I feel like it's kind of a trite thing to say at this point, but the Oscars are my personal Super Bowl. So I keep pretty close track of everything. Pretty much when award season really begins, I guess, in the fall of the previous year. So I love reading like coverage of who is probably going to get nominated. I've kept up with the Guild Awards, watched the SAG Awards the other day, which actually were really delightful. So I'm just, even though I disagree fundamentally with so many choices that the Oscars have made over the years, I still really love the whole spectacle of it. I love movies. I wish that more people who love movies voted on the Oscars, because sometimes I get the sense that the Academy voters don't really, you know, based on the anonymous ballots that we see of people being like, I didn't watch most of them. But yeah, I try to watch every movie, and I'll get to the ones that I am unfortunately missing this year when we dig more into it. But I'm a big Oscars follower, always have been.
Awesome. Yeah, I just kind of follow it from afar. I don't really watch any of the precursor awards show stuff. I haven't looked at the odds or the betting sites or any of that to see how these films stack up. So what I'm saying is, like, don't use at least my nominations or my suggestions here as like anything to put money on or anything like that. Like, I am not that person. There are plenty
of other... don't really use mine either, because I have a spotty track record of getting things right. I tend to vote with my heart and my gut, and that doesn't usually end in me winning any ballots. But I think this is always just a fun exercise of like exploring the year in film. Things are always left out. And again, I will definitely get to that as we tackle some of these categories. But, you know, there are worse things than celebrating the best of film every year.
And yes.
It's hard to really, you know, discount it.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So I think the plan is for you and I to reconvene here on Monday. And you and I are both going to be working during the Oscars. There's going to be a bunch of coverage up at slashfilm.com. So be sure to check that out. And then we'll kind of do a debrief and see how we did.
I'm sure that'll be really interesting on Monday.
Yes. Okay. So I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room first. I think it's safe to say that Emilia Perez was at one point the front runner in many major categories.
Oh, I think it certainly was. Yes.
Yeah. 13 nominations, which is like the second most, tied for the second most of all time.
It is tied with Gone with the Wind, which is just an astounding thing to say out loud, especially now.
Pretty wild stuff. So yeah, the Carlos Sofia Gascon scandal has theoretically torpedoed her chances to win Best Actress and potentially the movie's chances to pick up a number of awards that it might have otherwise won. If you don't know about the scandal, it involves several wildly out-of-pocket tweets about Hitler, George Floyd, Muslims, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, anything, anytime you think she can't have like a worse thing or another one, there's another tweet. Like, it's just an endless, you know, flow of really, really not good things that she said.
So you can read more about that if you choose to do that on your spare time. But let's get that conversation largely out of the way first. So I want to start
I want to say one thing about Emilia Perez, which is that I also think that it was being dogged all along. And I think that this is a fair critique, you know, because of the fact that it was from a French director who by his own admission did not put a lot of effort into researching Mexico or drug cartels or any of the subject matter of the film as it pertained to the country in which it was set before he started making the film. And while I, you know, commend directors who want to portray more diverse stories and and cast trans actors and give them a platform for success. I just think that Emilia Perez was always kind of a weird problem child of the Oscars in that its approach to the culture it was covering was maybe not in the best faith.
Yeah, I thought so too. And then it got 13 nominations. So it was really
right.
Strange.
And I think the Oscars love to kind of wildly overcorrect. Like they'll give the Oscar to Green Book and then they're like, okay, so Emilia Perez, most nominations or second most nominations ever. And I think that they do this to varying degrees of success almost every year. But I do think the larger discussion about kind of the ethics of Emilia Perez sort of couldn't be overlooked. And then the Carla Sofia Gascon of it all really just threw a giant wrench into everything.
Yeah. So let's start with Best International Feature. I'll read the nominees here. I'm Still Here, The Girl with the Needle, Emilia Perez, The Seed of the Sacred Fig, and Flo. And my question to you is, Nina, do you think Emilia Perez still has a chance to win in this category?
I don't. And I think that's because they will give this award. And when I say give, I don't mean as some sort of pity trophy. I think it's going to be I'm Still Here, which is also a Best Picture nominee for this year. And based on my, you know, long track record of watching the Oscars, what tends to happen is if an international film is in the Best Picture race and conversation, then it does tend to take home the award for international film. Now, in 2020, we saw Bong Joon-ho win this award and my heart kind of sank because I was like, oh, maybe Parasite won't win Best Picture. And then it went on to win Best Picture. So there have been some exceptions, but I think that based on the bad press for Emilia Perez and based on the fact that I'm Still Here had this really huge late surge in like attention and enthusiasm, I think that I'm Still Here could pull out and win the International Film Award.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Emilia Perez because I would love I'm Still Here to win. I like that movie a lot more, but I just think that 13 nomination thing, and I think there was so much support for that movie that my thought process is people are going to be looking for ways to award this movie, probably not in Best Picture, definitely not Best Actress, but they still like the movie enough. This is just speculation on my part.
Sure. They still and I like think they're the going to award it in one other major category, but we'll get to that.
Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna stay with that, and it'll be really interesting to see which of us it predicts the correct one there.
Yeah.
And then I guess similarly, there are a couple different like Emilia Perez categories that feel kind of like locks. So let's talk about those. Best Supporting Actress is the next one. Zoe Saldana seems to be a front runner for her performance in Emilia Perez. You got Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, Ariana Grande for Wicked, and Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown. Are you sticking with Zoe Saldana for this one?
I am sticking with Zoe Saldana. I think she has the best chance. I think that there's an element of this being a little bit of a career Oscar because she has had a really phenomenal career. I've been on her side since Center Stage, one of the greatest movies ever made. And I'm a huge fan of hers. It is certainly frustrating because this is a category that is really stacked. I'm not a huge Felicity Jones fan, but she's great in The Brutalist. I just watched A Complete Unknown and I was not a fan of the movie as a whole, but Monica Barbaro was just, I couldn't tear my eyes away from her when she was on screen. Isabella Rossellini is so good as the kind of like spoiler character in Conclave. And then I've talked about this on a couple podcasts before, but I think Ariana Grande's performance in Wicked is so good. It blew me away when I saw the movie. And so this is a really, really stacked category. And I should say now, the only two movies I have not seen in the Best Picture race are Emilia Perez, mostly because I just kind of can't bring myself to watch it based on the clips that I've seen, which even the ones in context don't fare as well for me. And I'm Still Here has just been really hard for me to see logistically. It has a very, very limited release. So I do hope to get to that one. But I have seen the rest. I'm sticking with Zoe Saldana largely because she has won every major precursor, including the SAG Award. And as I suspect I'll mention a couple of times, SAG-AFTRA does have the largest voting body in the Academy. So especially in terms of the acting awards, it's relatively easy to chart a path between those and the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm sticking with Zoe Saldana as well. Best Original Song, that's another one that Emilia Perez has two nominees for, El Mal and Mi Camino. There's a song called The Journey that has a nomination from the 6888. This is the Diane Warren song here, and she has like so many nominations.
Yep,
but
the
no
annual
wins,
Diane Warren nomination. Yeah.
There's a song called Like a Bird from Sing Sing, and then Never Too Late from Elton John, Never Too Late. I think El Mal is the front runner, so I'm going to stick with this one, even though I despised the music in Emilia Perez. I think it's terrible and like just unmemorable and not good in any way. But for some reason, I think this song seems to be the thing that people are sort of rubber stamping. So I'm going to go with that. But what do you think?
I did look up the full like performance of El Mal from the film, and I hated it. I totally understand the critique of the music in this movie just being so unappealing on every level, which is amazing considering it is a musical. This is a moment where I'm going to kind of go with my gut and my heart, and I'm picking Elton John just because I feel like, you know, I know he's been wrapping up his career for a very long time now, but it feels like this might actually be it. And he's such a legend that I think that it might be, you know, time for him to take home, I think, another Oscar. I do think he has at least one, but I picked Never Too Late on my ballot, and I'm just going to dig my heels in on that.
Okay. Yeah, I would love that. I would love for Emilia Perez to walk away with nothing, because I just think it's an ill-gotten movie.
And it's hard because, again, like, I'm such a Zoe Saldana fan, but I'm like, can you just win for something different, please?
Yeah, yeah. And she's
give her one for center stage, like, now. Like, just get her up there and be like, this is actually for Ava from Center Stage. It's been years. Let's do it.
Okay. So in terms of potential winners that also feel locked in at this point, let's go to Best Supporting Actor. We've got
Kieran Culkin.
Vera Borisov from Anora, Kieran Culkin from Real Pain, Edward Norton from A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce from The Brutalist, and Jeremy Strong from The Apprentice. I also think Kieran Culkin is going to win because, like you said, the precursor stuff, he's just been steamrolling through his entire award season.
He's pulling like a Christoph Waltz, Heath Ledger, Divine Joy Randolph kind of like run where they just really can't lose. There would be a huge, huge upset, I think, if he were to lose. And I mean, I don't want to say this is a shame because I love Kieran Culkin. I'm a huge fan of Succession. He was phenomenal on that show. Anyone who says that his performance in A Real Pain is just Roman Roy again, I'm not going to insult you directly, but I implore you to reevaluate that opinion because I think that you're wrong. And again, like, this is a great category. I just finished The Brutalist this morning. I actually watched half of it yesterday, paused it at intermission, and returned to it just because it's a commitment. And Guy Pearce is so good. I love Yura Borisov in Anora. Jeremy Strong, that guy gives everything 200,000%. I mean, I didn't like Trial of the Chicago 7, but the fact that he requested to be really tear gassed is still a very funny thing that lives in my head. I wasn't as charmed by Edward Norton's performance in A Complete Unknown. Aside from Monica Barbaro, there's only one other performance from that movie, and I think you can guess what it is, but we'll get there. There's no way in my mind that Kieran Culkin loses this. It is, frankly, his to lose, and I can't wait to see his speech. He's just a little chaos goblin of a man, and I love him.
Yeah, I like him too. I do, like, if I were filling this out for my personal favorite performance of this group, I think I would pick Guy Pearce in The Brutalist. He's just so amazing in that movie.
He's incredible. And I love Guy Pearce. I think that he, you know, he's been in the press a lot lately, and I find him just being like a brave and audacious person. Every time I see him interviewed, I would become a bigger fan. But yeah, I would love to see him win this, but I do think this is just Kieran's year.
Okay, so let's shift over to the writing categories. We have Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Original Screenplay. I'll read Adapted first. We've got A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing. And then for Original, we have Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5, and The Substance. So what are your picks for these two categories, Nina?
For Adapted, I have Conclave. I think Conclave has been riding really steady throughout this award season. And it's very funny because I'm sure you've seen a lot of the jokes people have made online about how, you know, as Emilia Perez and others fall, it is literally the plot of Conclave as they try to pick a new pope and people just different scandals wipe out all these contenders. But I did pick this one. Peter Strawn worked on, I believe, The Crown. And I know that he's very, he's very well regarded. This is a great screenplay. I really, really enjoyed Conclave. And I do think that Nickel Boys has a great script, but I think that the way Nickel Boys is shot is kind of the main feature of that movie, so to speak, whereas Conclave is just all conversations that people are having, really highlighting the strength of that script. And then for Original, I did pick Anora. I think that A Real Pain has a shot to be a spoiler in this category, and I also think that The Substance could be a surprise winner. I have a kind of little pet theory that Original Screenplay is the award that they give to the movies that they find her too weird to win Best Picture, but that they want to award. So like Get Out, Promising Young Woman. These are past winners of the same award. In the end, though, I went with Anora. I think that Sean Baker seems to be kind of being coronated by the Academy with this many nominations for Anora. And I think he has the potential to pick up a couple trophies, but I do think that they're probably going to give him screenplay. But what do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you for both of these, actually. I think Conclave is just, in terms of the precursors, that's one where, again, Peter Stone seems to just be rolling through. And then it really does feel like this is Sean Baker's year when it comes to the Anora stuff. And we'll maybe talk about like that movie's ebbs and flows over the season as we get further into some different awards and stuff. But yeah, I think I'm right there with you, definitely aligned on these two. So we'll see. The thing is, like, a lot of these movies are really good. And I think there's, you know, it's not like I would be devastated if many of these other ones walked away with the trophy.
No, so I would be psyched if The Substance won, or the, you know, the weird original screenplay award. That would be make me very happy. But I also would be pleased to see Anora, or I would be pleased to see any of these win. I will admit I haven't seen September 5, but the rest of these have great screenplays as well. You know, much like Conclave, A Real Pain is really just conversations. And so like, if you want to really say, you know, this is where the writing shines, that is a movie where the writing shines. Jesse Eisenberg did a phenomenal job. So yeah, I'm right there with you. This is not a category where I'll be, you know, throwing a fit if Anora doesn't win.
Yeah. And just shout out to Nickel Boys and Sing Sing, which are both in Best Adapted. I don't think they're going to win much, when all is said and done, but just great, great movies. And I'm glad to see them nominated. So
also Nickel Boys, the book is phenomenal. I highly recommend reading it if you have not. The movie is also amazing, but, you know, it's just, it's my personal favorite Colson Whitehead book, which frankly is saying something because he has a couple of Pulitzers.
Awesome. Okay, so let's move to costume design. We have A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. What are you thinking for this one?
I put Wicked.
Me too.
I just think, I think that the world that John M. Chu and his production team created and his costume team, it's so immersive. It doesn't feel fake, and we'll discuss that more when we get to production design, of course, but yeah, the costumes in this movie are spectacularly beautiful. Even just from the first shot, Glinda's dress is like a marvel. So yeah, I loved them in Nosferatu. I always find myself a little confused by the costume design category because it's always something like Wicked and then like A Complete Unknown, which is just like clothes people wore in the 60s. Yeah. I don't know. I know there's a talent involved in that, but those two things should not be in the same category for costume design, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I kind of feel like it's between Wicked and Nosferatu. And I think maybe the Nosferatu costumes might be better, but Wicked is like such a runaway success. And it's got that sort of brighter, poppier, more attention grabbing look that I think that might be.
It also has like in terms of scale. I mean, Nosferatu is a very small movie in terms of the cast isn't that big and stuff. And Wicked has so many scenes where it's all of these, background actors wearing very elaborate costumes. So I think that's something that would probably sway Academy voters as well.
Yep. So in makeup and hairstyling, we have Wicked, A Different Man, Emilia Perez, Nosferatu, and The Substance. Do you think Wicked is going to take both of these, or what do you think?
I did put The Substance for this one. And this was really hard because I didn't want to put Emilia Perez, so I didn't. But A Different Man, Nosferatu, and Wicked all have really, really good makeup. I recently watched A Different Man and loved it. I thought it was really, really spectacular. I'm embarrassed that I didn't get to it sooner. Nosferatu, the way that they make Bill Skarsgård look in that movie is absolutely insane, complimentary. And I mean, Wicked, they were painting poor Cynthia Erivo green on a regular basis. So I put The Substance though, because I think what they do as the end of that movie creeps up and smacks you in the face is just absolutely unhinged in the best way.
Yeah, I would say that Wicked probably would win this category, but The Substance has a Best Picture nomination. And that, I think, signals a lot of support. And obviously Demi Moore, which we'll get to in a little bit. But that obviously signifies a lot of support for the movie beyond just the technical categories. So I think people genuinely really like this movie. And if they like the movie, I think that translates into them liking where, or at least respecting how far it goes, because that's kind of the whole thing with the substance. So I think you're right. I think that translates into if they're going to award the substance with something, this category makes the most sense just on in terms of like engaging with the movie on its own terms. So
it has the most audacious and over the top makeup and hairstyling of almost anything in this category. Again, this is a good category, but my gut tells me the substance here.
All right. Have you watched any of these short films at all?
I have not. And I'm so bad about this every year. I really respect the filmmakers listed here, but it's not usually on my docket. I need to get better about that.
Yeah, I do too. I like every year I kind of like too late in the process think, oh yeah, I should seek all that out, and then realize that I've run out of time or whatever. I have watched a handful of them. I'm not going to run through all of the nominees here, but you can go to /film and just read our full Oscar nominees list if you want to get those. But I'll just say that I've seen, Alien. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce that one. That was really good. I'm Not a Robot was surprisingly great. Instruments of a Beating Heart and The Only Girl in the Orchestra are the other ones that I've seen. And all of them are good. So I would recommend seeking out those. I haven't sought out the other ones yet. Hopefully I'll be able to catch a few more. I know Incident is available on YouTube, and that one is supposed to be really great. And a lot of these are like, there's one called Anuja that's on Netflix that I have in my queue, but I just haven't watched yet. So some of the stuff is easier to find than others. I think some of it's on YouTube, some of it's on like the New Yorker's website. Some of it is on like Vimeo. You can rent, you know, a couple of these movies at different places like that. So yeah, seek out that kind of stuff if you're interested.
Be better than us and seek these out, please.
All right, so let's take a break and then we'll come back and get into all the other categories here.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
All right, let's move to Best Visual Effects. So the nominees here are Alien Romulus, Better Man, Dune Part 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked. What are you thinking, Nina?
I'm thinking Dune Part 2. It's one of two Best Picture nominees in this category, and I think we're going to discuss production design pretty soon, but my gut feeling is that both Dune Part 2 and Wicked do a really good job of relying on practical effects whenever possible. With that said, there's nothing in Wicked quite as large scale and impressive as like the sandworm riding or anything like that. So my vote's going to Dune Part 2.
Look, I totally agree with what you're saying. I am worried by some of the things that I've seen. Some Academy members apparently can't be bothered to watch Dune Part 2
because they think
it's too long or something. And so,
just our regular reminder that Kirsten Dunst watches every movie that's nominated because she says, I am a member of the Academy. So shout out to Kirsten Dunst for being a real one.
Hell yeah, Kiki. There you go. I know Dune Part 2 has a Best Picture nomination. I kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm scared because I saw that comment and I'm like, oh man, does this mean that there's not, I mean, and honestly, I thought like Denis Villeneuve deserved a Best Directing nomination that he did not
agree.
Get.
Yes.
So I'm thinking the support for Dune Part 2 is just not there in this voting body or not to the extent that I would prefer it personally. So I'm worried about this. So I put Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So we'll see what happens there. I would love it if your prediction comes true, but yeah, that's where I'm going for this one, just because I think maybe more people, if you can put any credence behind these anonymous Oscar voter things,
sure,
then I suspect maybe they're speaking on behalf of a lot more people who are remaining silent about this stuff.
So. Do you think Wicked is in this conversation then? Because I think that was like reading these anonymous ballot things, everyone seemed to really like Wicked across the board.
Really? Oh, yeah. Man. Okay. So I didn't actually engage with, like, I think the Hollywood Reporter is the outlet that publishes a lot of those every year.
Yeah.
I didn't actually
Entertainment Weekly has one as well. They always really raise my blood pressure, so I love reading them. But yeah, everyone was like, oh yeah, I didn't watch anything except for Wicked. Like, that kept coming up. So I think that if we're going to have a Dune spoiler in this category, it could be Wicked, but I think, yeah, we'll see on Sunday.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, maybe I'm misplacing my my spoiler spot there. So yeah, we'll see. Okay. So let's move to Best Director. We've got Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbet for The Brutalist, James Mangold for A Complete Unknown, Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, and Coralie Fargeau for The Substance. I think Sean Baker probably has this on lock. What do you think?
I think it's Sean Baker. I think Brady Corbet is the most likely spoiler. But I mean, after everything, I would say Jacques Audiard received almost as much negative press as Carlos Sofia Gascon, because he just made repeatedly insensitive comments about not caring about Mexican culture. So I think that he's just, you know, in terms of his research for the film. So I think that that's just almost out of the question. I would be really surprised if James Mangold takes it, because, I mean, honestly, for my money, A Complete Unknown was a paint by numbers biopic. I think that Coralie Fargeau would be such a fun surprise, because the process that she underwent in order to make The Substance, I mean, so many, like a handful of studios wanted her to change it. They said no, and she persevered, and now it is an Oscar front runner in a couple of categories. But I do, as we said earlier, I think it's Sean Baker's year. I think Anora is his most Academy friendly movie to date by quite a long shot. And yeah, I think that he'll be crowned on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm curious about Brady Corbet, because there's the old adage of, like, the Oscars go for not best, but most when it comes to whatever the category is.
Right. Right.
And The Brutalist to me feels like most directing. And
not
just because it's long, but because it has that sort of grand, you know, Godfather-esque, towering, Titanic, monumental vibe to it. So yeah. I could see that sneaking through, but I just think with all of the precursor awards and stuff like that, that Sean Baker is probably going to take home the trophy for that one. So
I would agree.
Let's move to Best Documentary Feature. We have Black Box Diaries, No Other Land, Porcelain War, Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, and Sugarcane. What do you think?
I think that we're going to see another No Other Land victory at the Oscars, and I would be so pleased by that. As I told you before we had this chat, I unfortunately have not found the time to go and see this movie, but I'm very lucky that it is playing at my local theater in Philadelphia. And so I have the ability to go see it, which is not necessarily universally true. It does not have an official distributor or studio, I believe. And so it's a difficult movie to track down and watch. But it also has gotten a lot of press due purely to the fact that it is hard to watch, and that it managed to surpass the fact that it doesn't have a distributor and got a Best Documentary Feature nomination at the Oscars. Now, I am not familiar with the rest of these, I should admit, but I think that No Other Land is going to seize the moment and take this home. And you have seen this movie, correct?
I have, yeah. I talked about it on yesterday's episode of The Water Cooler, so people can go back and listen to that. I have this listed as my winner, but I did hear somebody, I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but somebody was suggesting, because there was such a little bit of a, what would you call it? A brouhaha, I guess might be the term. After Jonathan Glazer gave his speech last year, people in the Academy, in the audience at the Dolby Theater where the Academy Awards happen, were not necessarily thrilled with the comments that he made about the situation in Gaza and all of that kind of stuff, right? Like, there was this big sort of outcry against what he was saying, which to me seemed pretty reasonable, but hey, that's, you know,
I would wholeheartedly agree with you that what he said was both reasonable, and I would also call it quite brave in the moment.
Yeah. So this podcast I was listening to, and forgive me for not citing it, I honestly don't remember which one. I've listened to so much stuff in recent days, but it seems like they were saying, like, because the Oscar voting body who was in that room, half of them seemed to react really negatively to what Jonathan Glazer was saying, maybe No Other Land, which has won a bunch of precursor awards, might not actually win the Academy Award here, because it's more of a contentious issue or something within the voting body of the Academy Awards. So I don't know what would happen, what this potential second place movie would be. The only other film
no idea. Yeah.
I've seen is Sugarcane, which I believe is streaming on Disney Plus. I think it's a National Geographic release, so by now it's probably made its way to Disney Plus. That's a really good movie, and again, similarly kind of tough to watch, but yeah, that one is really good. So like, if that ends up winning, like, I guess I wouldn't be mad, but I would be disappointed, because I feel like No Other Land is probably like the clear thing that maybe should win, quote unquote. So
right. I mean, not only is it particularly relevant and resonant in this moment in time, I mean, it's it would be a shame if, you know, political mutterings were to rob a movie of an award that it maybe should win. So I'm going to stick with No Other Land, and obviously we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so let's move to Best Film Editing. We have Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, and Wicked. What are you thinking for this one?
I went with Anora largely because Baker does his own editing, and I think that that's like kind of catnip for the Academy, in that like he's kind of part of every process of the filmmaking. I do think The Brutalist could take this one. I really like Wicked. I'm not really sure why it's here. And this is, I'm going to take this moment very quickly to talk about the fact that Challengers got zero Oscar nominations. And this is a category where I think it should edge out either Emilia Perez or Wicked. I think that the editing in Challengers is so tight and so incredible. But yeah, Alas, that didn't happen. So yeah, I went with Anora. I do think it's a very well-edited film. I think that like his cut from shot to shot is so, so good. And it really keeps the momentum going. But I also think Academy voters just really like when someone kind of does everything, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, as long as they aren't being obnoxious about it, which I think Sean Baker has walked a fine line of not doing, and really kind of like going to bat for the independent film community and not necessarily like making it about him in a way that could put people off. So I agree. That was my nomination, or my pick for this category as well. For every remaining award that we're going to talk about, I feel like there are multiple movies that I can imagine winning, which is really exciting. A lot of years it feels like the Oscars are kind of rubber stamping their way through the ceremony, and maybe you'll get one or two surprises. But I feel like this year, every single one of these things that we're about to get into could surprise me here. So let's talk about...
I think I saw
about
a tweet recently that was like, this is the first year since Parasite that I legitimately don't know what's going to win Best Picture. And I think that's true. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about Best Cinematography. So we have The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Maria, and Nosferatu. What do you think about this?
What did I put? I put Dune Part 2 again. This is a heart vote. I don't think I'm right. I think it's going to be The Brutalist, and I would feel great about that. I think this is a really stunningly shot movie. I mean, it's literally about kind of the magic of architecture and how you can tell a story through building. And so it has these stunning, you know, kind of careful and loving shots of what Laszlo Toth is building. I just think that the sweeping cinematography of Dune Part 2 is something I haven't stopped thinking about. And I saw that movie when it came out, so it's been a while. So I went with my heart again. I think that you're right that Academy voters are lame and didn't want to sit through another Dune, which is their loss because it's a fun movie. But yeah, I think my gut says Brutalist, my heart says Dune Part 2.
Okay, so you went with Dune Part 2. I selected The Brutalist for all the reasons that you just said. I would literally love nothing more if Dune Part 2 ended up winning, because that was my favorite movie of last year, and I think it looks incredible, and I think it absolutely deserves this. But I do think The Brutalist is like the more of the movie of the moment, and like we talked about, that sort of waning support of Dune Part 2 makes it seem unlikely to me. So we'll see how that ends up. Best Original Score. This is another one that kind of feels like a toss-up at this point. So we've got The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Wicked, and Wild Robot. I'm guessing Wicked and Emilia Perez are just wiped off the board there. So it kind of feels like a three-way thing here between Brutalist, Conclave, and Wild Robot. What do you think?
I mean, I think that the rightful thing that should happen is they should open the envelope and they'll say Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross challengers, and they will just somehow win the award despite not getting a nomination for the coolest score of 2024. I put The Brutalist. Like I said, this is really fresh in my mind too, because I just finished it. The score is really, honestly, if I'm going to compare anything to Challengers, which I think should be here and should have won, I think that it's kind of the closest in tone to that, of like that almost like in The Brutalist, it's much more dread-inducing of kind of like the heavy kind of percussion, and it's almost not musical in a way, but it creates the atmosphere so well. I honestly don't remember the score from Conclave, which I think is probably a bad sign, and I don't understand why Wicked is allowed to be in this category, because Dune Part 2 got blocked because it was too much pre-existing music, when in my understanding of how musicals work, Wicked is the same as the musical, which already exists. But, you know, if that won, I wouldn't be shocked, because I think people will be like, musical, music. Great. Yeah, yeah, I'd like to see The Brutalist win.
They added some new stuff for Wicked, but yeah, I kind of think it's between The Brutalist and Conclave, really. And I picked Conclave because I think this is like a cynical pick on my part. I would actually prefer to see The Brutalist win, because I think I like that score a little bit better. But my thinking here is like, maybe Academy members who engaged with The Brutalist, which is like what, 3.5 hours long or something, might view that as kind of like this big totemic thing, but the music might get lost in their minds, and Conclave, sure, which everyone seems to like, and as we'll talk about shortly, like could potentially be a Best Picture spoiler here, has like, is easier to watch in many ways than The Brutalist, and so I think maybe like it might be easier for people to pull that one out and just drop that into the slot. So we'll
I do want to say, I think Conclave and Wicked might be, from my understanding of like reading these anonymous ballots, seems like those two are like the most watched of the year. Whereas like if we're talking about how people kind of maybe didn't engage with Dune Part 2, it seemed like, from what I've read and seen, those are the two movies that Academy voters may have actually sat down and watched. So I think that may have some bearing on things as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So production design, I'm similarly sort of flummoxed for this one. So we've got The Brutalist, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. I mean, the production design in Dune Part 2 is incredible, but I think, again, people just probably aren't going to give that one the trophy. So what did you pick for this?
I picked Wicked. Something that really charmed me about Wicked is that it seemed like a lot of practical sets. And I know that's also true of, you know, everything else on this list, but for a movie like Wicked, it would be very tempting to do a lot of CGI and just stick Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande in front of a green screen and just put it all in post. I like and respect that John M. Chu appeared to build a lot of stuff for them to play with. It always seemed to me in the movie, and I definitely think we discussed this on maybe on the Best of the Year podcast, the movie seemed very tactile to me in that the performers actually got to work within those very fantastical spaces. And I think, like we talked about with costumes, I think that Wicked is just the most attention-grabbing one. I think it would be so sick if Nosferatu won this. I would love to see Dune Part 2. I'd like to see any of these win. I just realistically think it's going to be Wicked.
Yeah, 100%. I'm exactly fully aligned on everything you said, including your reasoning there. So, yeah, right there. Okay, so best sound. I'm so curious about this because you've got Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Wicked, The Wild Robot, and A Complete Unknown. I mean, I'm kind of like, again, this is kind of a cynical choice on my part. I think I'm going to pick A Complete Unknown because it seems like the Academy loves well, look, this would not be my personal choice, but the Academy loves a musical biopic. And I think the idea of weaving this Bob Dylan music that everyone seems to love. I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan personally. He's never really been one of my guys. But I just think there's something about that where people, again, kind of like how you were saying, like, oh, best original score, music, musical, like that kind of mentality might apply in this, you know, best sound. Oh, A Complete Unknown, that had music that I liked. Let's put that in there. So that's my cynical choice for this. But what do you think?
If and perhaps when A Complete Unknown wins this, I will do such a big like Liz Lemon from 30 Rock eye roll that I think it'll be able to be seen from space. I put Dune Part 2. I said this to you right before we started recording. I really want Dune to win this. The sound in this movie is, if the sound wasn't as good as it is in Dune Part 2, the whole movie could fail. Like it creates the atmosphere of everything happening in this movie so perfectly. A Complete Unknown, I think you could be right, which would just suck because that movie is just literally people playing instruments. I mean, I just don't. To be clear, I'm not a sound mixer, but that seems absurd to me. I think Wicked could be a spoiler here. If it's not Dune Part 2, please let them give one thing to Dune Part 2. And if it's one thing, let it be sound. please. I'm begging you, Academy.
All right, so we have, let's see, one, two, three, four more categories here. So Best Animated Feature, we have Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot. And for the entire season, it's kind of felt like a neck and neck race between Wild Robot and Flow. Mm-hmm. Which one are you picking, Nina?
I'm going to go with Flow. The narrative behind Flow is really... really strong. I was actually just writing about this for Slash Film about how the movie is really blowing up. It's streaming on Max right now and how a lot of people are watching it. I did get to watch it. I think it's so lovely. I love when an animated feature that is ostensibly appropriate for children, and I'm thinking of WALL-E here, takes a really bold move and does not include dialogue for either the entire film, which is the case here, or a large portion of it, which is the case for WALL-E. I think that's just such a cool choice. The fact that it does resonate with audiences young and old, whether or not they're speaking, is a very special thing, I think. I think the Oscar narrative behind Flo being the first Latvian movie to win even a nomination at the award show is really big. I believe it did win the Golden Globe kind of in an upset. And I wouldn't say the Globes are the best precursor, but it's notable that it won. I think Wild Robot is a fantastic movie, and I'd be super psyched if it won, but I'm going to go with Flo.
Okay, well, I am also going with Flo. I thought I was going to be the one going against the grain here with this sort of underdog pick, but yeah, you're right there with me. So I want to say it was like Katie Rich's Prestige Junkie podcast where mm-hmm. she was talking about the Oscar voters liking to feel like they're being a part of a movement or like
voting part with of their a heart. Conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. And like really contributing to something. And Flo has just such an incredible underdog story.
Yeah.
That's, and like Hollywood loves an underdog. So I think people would feel good about voting for something like Flo, which was effectively made by to say it was made by one guy in his house in Latvia is not correct, but like compared to the machinery behind right. the Wild Robot and like the DreamWorks of it all, like you've got, you know, one of the premier animation studios in the world behind that movie versus something like Flo, which was much more handmade and feels like it was made with a much, much smaller team.
It feels like that, back in the day when like Ex Machina became the lowest grossing movie to ever win, you know, visual effects. Like it just feels like it can surge ahead. And I also like, having done some research on Flo, like they have the Golden Globe in the art museum in Riga, and there's a statue of the cat in the city, and there's just all this like goodwill behind this movie. And I'm not saying that's not true of The Wild Robot, but I think like you're saying, an underdog story, the kind of narrative of it all, Oscar voters love a strong narrative, and Flo does have that.
Definitely. Okay, so the final three categories here: Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Picture. Best Actor: Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, Colman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. It kind of seems like Adrian Brody had been the front runner in this category, winning a lot of the precursors, just, you know, giving speeches left and right. And then Timothy Chalamet mm-hmm. won Best Actor for A Complete Unknown at the SAG Awards. And as you mentioned earlier, SAG has a pretty significant voting body in the Academy Awards. So do you think Timmy is going to be able to pull a little bit of an upset here? Or do you think people are going to stick with Adrian Brody and The Brutalist?
I put Timothy Chalamet as my pick. I should go on record and say I didn't like A Complete Unknown, which didn't surprise me because most music biopics to me just are walk hard without any jokes in them. So I'm kind of predisposed to not like them. And I genuinely could not believe, as I believe I said to you, that the conflict of this movie was guy wants to play different kind of guitar. And that was like, I kept waiting for something else to happen. And I was like, oh no, that's all we're going to talk about. That being said, I think that he is going to pull an upset for a couple of reasons. One, the Academy loves music biopics, as we have discussed and frankly seen over the years, because remember when Rami Malek won an Oscar for wearing huge fake teeth? Like, that was insane. Yeah. That movie sucked and the performance was just fine, and yet somehow. But I think the narrative of Timothy Chalamet, as he said during his SAG after acceptance speech, spending 5 years of his life to really perfect the character of a young Bob Dylan, I think that's probably made a mark on the Academy. I think the SAG Award is a huge indicator. And I think that Adrian Brody has two kind of marks against him, which is that he won his first award for The Pianist. And I think that narrower mind of some voters, that is too similar of a performance to Laszlo Toth. I don't agree with that, but I think that that could be kind of, oh, well, he already won for a really intense movie that is tangentially related, or that one's more related to the events of the Holocaust. This one is kind of after. But I think that could be a mark against him. And also, he has an Oscar already. And I think that, you know, the conventional wisdom in terms of when people win Oscars in their careers is that men win them older and women win them younger. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's pretty trackable. Like Jennifer Lawrence and Brie Larson were all kind of crowned as these ingenues winning their Oscars very early in their careers, whereas Leo had to wait till he ate a bison liver to take home a single Oscar. But I am going with Timothée Chalamet. I think it's going to be an upset. I think, I mean, voting was closed by the time he gave his SAG speech, but I think that, you know, that was kind of perhaps a precursor to him becoming, you know, officially one of the greats, as he put it. I think his performance was very good in this movie. I don't want to knock that, because even though I didn't like the movie, I thought he was very, very good. And I do think Adrien Brody was absolutely phenomenal in The Brutalist, and I don't think anyone else, you know, in amongst his peers perhaps could have delivered as strong of a performance. But I think in terms of Academy politics, he might be trailing behind.
Okay. Yeah, this is really interesting. So I'm going with Adrien Brody. I just think the thing you said about like making the guys wait until later in their careers, I think probably is going to apply to Chalamet, because I think there are a lot of older people. I know the Academy voting body is more diverse and younger and more international, much more international now than it used
ever
to be.
Before. Yeah.
So, but I do think there's something about Adrien Brody's performance where he just really disappeared into that role. And I think people are going to have that, like, all right, Chalamet, we know you'll be back here. You know, we'll give this to you later.
Let's just hope he doesn't have
to
eat a bison liver at any point. I can't, I personally can't live through that again. And I don't want it to happen to him. I think you're probably right. And I think it's probably going to be, as expected all season, Adrien Brody. But would I be shocked if Timmy Tim pulled it out? No, I would not.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at either, and I would be thrilled at either.
I would be psyched. So. I think Timothée Chalamet is so good at like having fun as a movie star. I think he's a delight when he gets to do press tours. And even just his SNL track record has just thoroughly charmed me. So yeah, if he wins, I'll be psyched. I'll be psyched to see his speech, but I do expect Brody.
Okay, so in Best Actress, we have a kind of similar situation. So we have Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here, Demi Moore for The Substance, Mikey Madison for Anora, Carla Sofia Gascón for Emilia Perez, and Cynthia Erivo for Wicked. I think it's fair to say that Gascón and Erivo have no chance. There's, I guess, a chance that Fernanda Torres could somehow like swoop in from, you know, the off the top rope and like surprise everyone, because I'm Still Here has that Best Picture support that you mentioned, that for the nomination, and then it could potentially win Best International, like we talked about. So like the Brazilian, never underestimate the power of Brazilian fandom and the international nature of this Academy. So that could happen, but I think it's kind of more of a neck and neck thing between Demi Moore and Mikey Madison, which like, I think at the beginning of the season, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you pay much closer attention to this stuff than I do, it felt like Mikey Madison was going to win. And then all of a sudden Demi Moore won the Golden Globe. And it was like the narrative solidified that it is her time. She's winning this thing. And then, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of feels like with the recent surge of Anora after winning like the Producers Guild and the Directors Guild and the what else did they win? The Writers Guild, I think, at the same time or like right around that same weekend. It
yeah,
just kind
I
of feels
so.
Like Anora has like new life. So do you think that's going to translate to Mikey Madison being able to now upset Demi Moore? Because it seems like she's the front runner now. So what do you think about all the drama in this category?
Yeah, I mean, I love both of these performances so, 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 so much. And something I do want to say about Fernanda Torres' nomination is something that made me feel a little absolutely crazy, a lot absolutely crazy, is when Parasite swept the Oscars, but not a single actor was nominated. And I think that unfortunately happens a lot with movies that are not primarily in English. So I am excited to see Fernanda Torres here, especially because based on my understanding of the film, it's her film. But yeah, I don't think... Also, I think it's unfair to be like Gascón and Erivo both have no chance, because it's not Erivo's fault per se that she doesn't
have
a shot.
Yeah. I don't mean to lump her in. I just mean because she hasn't won any precursors.
I agree. And I think we've discussed this on a different podcast, but I think that if we, you know, nominate Erivo again for Wicked for Good, when that comes out, I think that Elphaba has a much stronger arc in that movie. So I think that could be like a better shot for her down the line. Mm-hmm. In terms of Mikey Madison and Demi Moore, this is so hard for me to choose, like, just based on my feeling about both of these performances, because I think that, you know, what Mikey Madison's doing in Anora is so just raw and real. But I think the same is true of Demi Moore. The scene where she is attacking her own face before her mm-hmm. date with her makeup is just, it has stuck in my brain since I watched it. And, you know, Demi Moore is also just, again, there's the narrative aspect of it all. I think there was a little bit of time where we thought maybe Pamela Anderson was gonna end up in this category for the Last Showgirl. And I think we would have had a similar conversation about, like, oh, it's this woman who has been largely disrespected by the industry in which she works for the majority of her career. And now she is, you know, turning in this incredible performance. And I do think Demi Moore is an actress who was not taken seriously at all by her own admission in her acceptance speeches. And I think the narrative of that is just too strong for the Academy to possibly overlook. But that's not discounting her performance. She's spectacular in The Substance. This role is the role of a lifetime for her. And I'm going to go with Demi. I would be happy if Mikey won, but I don't know that Demi has another, you know, project like this in her future. Whereas per our discussion about Timothy and Adrian, I think Mikey has a huge future ahead of her.
Yeah, it comes down to which narrative is most resonant. Is it the right. It's my time narrative, or is it the we're awarding the next ingenue
right.
narrative, which is just like historically, like you said, there's so much precedent for something like that.
But so then we also have like the Olivia Colman win, which was a contest between her and Glenn Close. I mean, neither of those women, with the utmost due respect, are ingenues. And so like I think they both have very good narratives, but I do think the Demi Moore story of it all, you know, going from what she calls a popcorn actress, what people said to her, to mm-hmm. a Golden Globe, SAG-AFTRA, potentially Oscar winner, I think that is just a delicious thing. And I don't want to understate that sometimes I think people get career Oscars, even if the performances are not very good. Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour. Think that is kind of unfair and bad sometimes. I don't think that would be the case with this. I think she would wholly deserve this. If Demi Moore wins this, she deserves it outright.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sticking with Demi. And I also just want to shout out Fernanda Torres in I'm Still Here, because she's incredible. And like, if that somehow, I mean, I feel like that would be the biggest upset of the night, because
that would be
she has
wild.
Not won any
yeah.
precursors. But that would be a very deserving win, even mm-hmm. among the competition in this category, because she's incredible in that movie. So, yeah. All right. Now we've reached the final category, Nina. Best Picture. We have Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. So, is it anything but Anora? Is there any chance of something? There was so long. It was so long where it was just like right out of can. It was like, Anora, this is winning Best Picture. And then mm-hmm. it seems like it's bounced back and forth so many times. Amelia Perez, 13 nominations. That's going to win Best Picture. Oh, no, The Brutalist. This movie's surging. That's going to win Best Picture. And now it feels like it's circled all the way back around to Anora. I think that's where I'm going to stick my flag in the sand here. And mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Anora. But what do you think? Is there something else?
I'm going to walk over to a different hill. I'm going to prepare to die upon it. And I'm going to pick Conclave. I think that is the potential okay. Best Picture spoiler in this entire race. I don't think anything else has a shot at all. Like if a complete unknown one, I would walk into the sea. Like I wouldn't even be able to handle that. I don't even want to think about Amelia Perez winning. And I think that as we've been over many times at this point, that's just straight up not happening. I would love to see Anora win. I really, really like Anora. I've seen it a couple of times now. And, you know, rewatching it, I found like was very rewarding. And I love when you can rewatch a movie. But I've also seen Conclave multiple times. And it's a very Academy friendly movie. And much like I talked about Demi's performance, I'm not saying that in a pejorative way. I'm saying it in a true way. I mean, the Academy really likes ensembles. They really like, you know, thoughtful, slow stories. And you do have, I don't want to spoil the twist here, but it has like this very progressive bent to it at the end, which I think is also something that could be very attractive to the Academy. I think it's going to be Anora, and I'll be very pleased with that outcome. This is not I don't think we're going to have a Green Book situation here or a Crash situation. But I think if anything could edge Anora out, it would be Conclave. With that being said, you're right about Anora's precursors, but I wouldn't be surprised if we had a director picture split where Baker wins director and Conclave wins best picture.
Interesting. Okay. So do you know how the preferential balloting, like the preferential voting thing works?
I mean, I've looked at how people do it a whole bunch of times, but in terms of the logistics of it, it doesn't make sense to my brain at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something about, like, you know, if you don't get 50% of the vote, then you're, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm not even going to try to explain it. People should look that up. I don't want to misinform anyone, but I think
it's a very complicated voting process. And it seems to me votes can end up being split, right? Like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the thing I think, and again, I should have looked this up beforehand, I apologize, but I think what is true is that Best Picture is the only category where that goes into effect. Is that right?
Okay.
Like, do you know if that's right?
Based on the anonymous ballots that I read, people did release their like ranked choices. And so I think
for
that
every
that
category
correct.
Or
no, for Best Picture. And okay, so, okay. I mean, obviously by Monday, we'll both be complete experts on this, I assume.
yes.
We'll study. But yeah, from my understanding, Best Picture is the only one where you have a sort of like whack electoral college situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only one that people talk about that as like a real factor. So I'm assuming that that's the only one where it really comes into play. Mm-hmm. And the reason that that matters is because it can sometimes be less about which movie is the best than which movie do more people have at their number two or number three spot.
Right.
And I think that's the case for Conclave, because that movie's just so solid that, like, how do you not like Conclave, right? Like, everybody
right.
seems to like that movie. So
that's what I mean, is that, I think it's such a like crowd pleaser. And I think, you know, like, here's just a random anecdote, and this will probably and could mean nothing, but like, I always pick the family movie on Christmas Day, and I sure as hell didn't pick Anora to watch with my family. I picked Conclave.
Right.
So like, I think for a lot of, I think for the older branch of the Academy, which is still there, not watching Dune Part Two, I think Conclave is like such a safe pick. And again, this is not speaking to the quality. If Conclave won, it would be a good and deserving Best Picture winner. I do think Anora is probably the front runner, but like you're saying, I think this is a really complicated voting system, and like weird things happen in the process. And, you know, we've seen upsets and strange outcomes before, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when we look back on this on Monday, and if Anora does not come through as the winner, I'm going to feel really silly, because it was the front runner for a long time. But I know in the back of my mind right now, even as I stick with this pick, the ending of Anora, which we've talked about on other podcasts, mm-hmm. is so kind of like thorny and interesting. And it doesn't necessarily leave you feeling great as you leave the theater. It leaves you thinking, which
right.
I don't know if that's going to be the sort of like emotional thing we're talking about, of the audience or the Academy voters feeling great about casting their vote for something that does not end on a clear high note, or
right.
at least a big like WTF moment of like, oh my God, I can't believe I saw that, like Conclave leaves you with. So
right.
if that ends up not winning, I think that's probably going to be me pinpointing the reason why, but I'm doing it right now in real time. So
it's really funny anyway. That for this entire discussion, we've basically been like treating Academy voters like they don't have object permanence, and basically assuming that they'll just make kind of the strangest, dumbest decision possible. If there are any Academy voters listening to this, I'm not talking about you specifically, probably. Except me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been really fun, Nina. Thank you for joining me. And we'll come back on Monday and talk about the actual winners and see if maybe any records are broken or any big surprises happen. So stay tuned.
I'm excited
for that.
To see how it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a podcast tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure yet. If we don't, then I apologize in advance. But definitely stick with us for Monday for our Oscar episode. That's 100% happening. So that is going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about all of these Oscar movies at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. gmail.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all next time.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often.
Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.